You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hi, I'm Trevin Wax. Welcome to the New Churches Podcast, a production of the Send Network. We are excited to have you on board today, and I'm excited to have Todd Atkins as my co-host.
What?
Todd, always with that.
It used to be long and loud.
Yes, and very annoying.
And very annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's just short and less annoying, but it is your trademark, though.
It is, at least on New Churches, for sure.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Anyway, those of you that have listened to the New Churches podcast know that Todd is not a stranger to this podcast. He is the director of leadership at Lifeway Christian Resources. Prior to Lifeway, he served as an executive pastor at McLean Bible Church. He is passionate, I know this from experience, passionate about helping churches build armies, not just audiences. Todd and his wife have four children.
I don't know who wrote this bio, but that's actually a good bio.
See?
For me, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, trying to be interesting here. We make you sound interesting. No, you are. You're good. Today we're going to talk about reading, and I know you might be listening and you might be thinking, why the New Churches podcast talking about reading? I'm going to start with this example of a pastor friend of mine in Canada, who was talking about, was in an area and they were talking about doctors in the area.
Right.
And the doctor, and one of the people said, they were talking about good doctors, bad doctors, excellent doctors and whatnot. And one of them said, and made this comment. They said, oh yeah, he's really good. He's a lot older, but he's a doctor who reads his journals. Now, you hear that and you're like, wait, reads his journals. Not talking about his diaries. Talking about like the medical journals that are things that are coming out now.
Right.
Right? And the pastor, you know, heard that and was like, that's the kind of pastor I want to be.
Exactly.
I want to be the kind of pastor who's reading my journals. Like, actually, like, not. I just didn't go to seminary 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Like, or I didn't just get an education or just study the Bible in a Bible study. But like, I want to go deeper and deeper and continue to learn and grow as long as I can.
Definitely. I mean, you know, the old adage, leaders are readers.
That's right.
It's true. And, you know, the day that you stop learning, the day that you stop growing, you're limiting your ministry potential and certainly performance, I think. If you, especially in this day and age, maybe 50 years ago, you could get by with it.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I would say if you're not a learner in this day and age, you got a short shelf life.
Well, and there's book learning, sometimes people will say book smarts versus street smarts. Like you got to have a mix of both. I mean, in planting,
right,
you got to learn from experience. But, you know, theology matters. Education matters. What you believe, what you know theologically, what you learn actually does translate into practice when it comes to ministry. There are certain theoretical things that have very practical ramifications.
It is really true about, you know, you are what you read as well. But I want you to tell me, how important is reading widely?
Yeah. I think reading beyond one kind of type of book is super important, because if you are only in one genre, then you're likely going to sound as a preacher, as a teacher.
Right.
You're going to sound like that one genre of book that you read.
Yes.
And that's one of the challenges of reading too narrowly. But I want, for this episode, we're going to have a couple episodes about reading. With this one, I want us to talk, and I'm curious to hear from you too, how you've managed this over the years, but I want us to talk about reading when you can't afford books.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I mean, there was a time when, you know, I did mission work in Romania. I was involved in youth ministry in a cross-cultural village in Romania. I did my undergrad at a Christian university in Eastern Europe. And then I, you know, so over there I was learning and reading and whatnot, but didn't have very much money to buy books. And then I get over into the States and I'm in seminary. And I remember like being at the Christian bookstore, the Lifeway on campus at the seminary, looking at all these books of so many things I wanted to learn, and thinking if somebody would just fund a book fund, like if someone would right. do a book fund for me and could just let me, would buy me any book I want to read in here, I would write a 5-page book review of each book that I want to read to like show them that I like they got their money's worth, you know, like
totally
that kind of thing. So that hunger for knowledge, like what do you, in church planters, obviously, you know, short on time because there's so much going on. There's so much weight that people are carrying and often not a lot of money for investing in a solid library. There's so many other things to invest in. So what do you do? How do you read well when you can't afford books?
I would say the first thing that you should do is be selective because of time and money.
Yeah.
You have to be selective. So one of the best ways to do that is to find a couple other guys that are just as hungry to read as you are, because they're going to help you by recommending good books. If they recommend you more than one book that is not good, stop taking their recommendations.
Yes, please do not
stop.
Listen to them anymore.
Yeah. And if you have a friend in your life that reads like one or two books a year, don't bother with their recommendations because they're
well, what if that one or two is amazing?
It could be, I guess, Trevin.
Yeah,
but
how do they know?
You know, in
how
my experience, yeah, that's what, like, there are people that I know that I can ask, what are you reading or what do you like or, you know, what are you rereading? If somebody rereads a book that I respect, I know I definitely want that book if I haven't read it.
Yeah.
Practically speaking, though, if you've got a couple friends in your life, especially if you're in that early stage of ministry, you can often borrow them from each other. I was bad at that because I always keep notes in the front and back blank pages of my book. And
which is that's a really good thing to do, though.
It is.
I just last week got to hold C.S. Lewis's copy of G.K. Chesterton's Orthodoxy.
Oh.
And in the back, and this is like most of the books at the Wade Center at Wheaton have this, in the back of the book is he has a little index handwritten by him where he has a little phrase and the page number, like all the way down the side. So some of the most
nice.
Well-beloved phrases from G.K. Chesterton's book are annotated in the back so that basically he could easily reference it. So yeah, that's a great reading practice though, but it's hard if you're borrowing.
It is hard if you're borrowing. So yeah. that was kind of...
that was your point.
My point.
I was making another point.
It was hard for me to do.
Unless you're loaning to C.S. Lewis and it's like, you then know, mark it up.
Mark it up. I want your notes. Yeah. I did used to borrow Eric Geiger's books and look at the notes in those. I would purposefully walk into his office and looked at
those.
His notes.
Yeah,
we both did because that's how we learned to do it. Like we were in seminary together and that's how we were. And honestly, he is who was that friend for me.
Right.
It was almost like we competed when we were younger in the amount of books we would read or what books we would read, and we would constantly go back and forth. But it was great because
that matters too. So here's another tip. If you can't afford books, read good book reviews. A really well done book review will summarize the book really well in, you know, a short amount of space, and then we'll probably get into some kind of either criticism or appreciation of the book.
Right.
Good book reviews, and you find them online. You find them in magazines, trusted websites. I mean, like Christianity Today will do good book reviews. So will Gospel Coalition from Christian perspective. But then there's, you know, other magazines and periodicals and things that will do book reviews, and that will actually help you figure out what books you need to read. So that's the thing. When you can't afford a lot of books, you need to be, like you said, really selective about the books that you are going to really invest
right.
in, because you don't have the money to get a book that's just so-so. Like you want to start building a library of best books.
So with so many books on the market, there's probably never been more books on the market.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah.
How can pastors and church planters know which books are worth investing in?
Yeah. Well, one
beyond
way.
Beyond the friend.
One way, like, you, yeah, the friend, obviously.
Friend and book reviews. Anything else you would say?
Yeah. If you see a book here, if it's an old book that people still talk about a long time later, there's generally a reason it stood the test of time.
Right.
So you can go wrong with old books, but you can't go as wrong with old books as you can with new books because they've been tested. So that's definitely a way to be more selective as to.
Well, and some of the older books, and I can't remember the date. I feel like it's in the 20s, are public domain. So
that's right. Yeah.
You can find John
90,
Owen.
90
you
years,
can find,
yeah.
You know, lots of, some of Tozer's books actually.
Have moved into public domain.
Have moved into public domain. Yeah. So. Those are incredible books that have stood the test of time and that are in public domain.
And you know you can find them online for free.
Yeah.
So you can get them on your Kindle. You could go to Google. I mean, Google Books is amazing.
Like, it really is.
I don't think people recognize. This is one of the things that one of the things that made me a reader was when I was a student in Romania, I remember going into that. It was a really good library. I think that university that I was at probably had one of the best theological libraries in Eastern Europe. Just a lot of really good books. And I remember thinking to myself, most of these books are in English. And that's my first language.
Right.
Like, I can, like, this comes so much easier to me to dig into these things than it does for a lot of my classmates who English was their second language and they were fluent in that, but it's just a little bit tougher. And so it's just amazing how much has been translated into English and how much is available online for free in different places. So, yeah, searching those out, I think, helps too.
Okay. What do you think pastors should keep on their shelf long term? And how often do you, like, go through and, I don't know, curate
purge
those?
Your yes. library. Yeah. You know, so that's kind of the opposite problem of the one that we started out with the podcast talking about, which is,
it is
I
true.
Don't have enough books or the books I, you know, so if you are, so let's say, you know, you've kind of begun to build a library, you've taken risks on books,
right.
You've bought books that, you know, because they've either stood the test of time or enough friends have mentioned it, good book reviews, whatever. I mean, eventually you probably are going to like run out of room. I'm always going to cull books from from my sort of personal library that I don't think I'm going to use again.
Right.
But that would be beneficial to someone else. So I've got a box now. I'm at a different stage of life than I was when I was in seminary. I have a box now of books that I'm giving away to, you know, seminary students or to people
right.
constantly because I say, I don't think I'm going to go back to this book, but it was a good companion for whenever I was on, you know, whatever journey. Here's the, you know, I want to pass that on. Usually if I know I'm not going to probably reference that book again, that's how I know.
So we've both worked in publishing or for publishers a while. What should readers know about publishers, and are there certain times of year that publishers are particularly interested in offering discounts?
Well, you can generally around holidays, we'll find discounts. You can find good discounts occasionally on Kindle. So if you're okay with that, like, I mean, there are some books that, you know, $20 to get a paperback or a hardback book.
Yeah.
And it, for a week, it runs at $2.99 on Kindle. So there's some places online, Gospel eBooks is one where you just kind of keep an eye out for deals that are out there. And there may be some historical books, some like novels and things that you want to read as well, that they'll come up and you can find a really good deal on them. So I think, you know, just knowing when there are cheap books out there. I don't know if there's any one particular season anymore. I think it's just different kinds of books during different kinds of seasons.
Right.
So I just tell people, hey, be aware there are books, you know, a lot of conferences give away books now because they want, yeah, because they want people engaging the material. You got to be selective with those because just
right.
because you get handed a book at a conference doesn't mean the book is going to be really worth your time. But it's a great way to begin building a library if you can't afford books, is to be at conferences where they're handed out. And I would say this to somebody that maybe you don't have a ton of books, you wish you had more, you want to read more, just, you know, financially it's tough. Books are more and more expensive these days, especially some of the ones you want to read. There's nothing wrong with rereading the best books.
Totally. Because you're not the same person you were when you read them the first time.
I have read, I think, C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters 3 times in my life.
My goodness.
At different decades of my life, and it was like reading a different book each time. Read it first as a teenager, read it in my 20s, read it again in my 30s, and literally, I was like, I don't think I remembered this book. Like, this book hit me in a different way.
Everybody should read Screwtape.
Yeah,
for sure. It will mess you up if you've never read it.
Yeah. I mean, but that's an example of a classic that's worth rereading, totally. Right? I mean, some books, you know, you read once, you're going to be fine. Somebody told me this once, and it just stuck with me. The treasures we have, even with a small library, we can't afford a lot of books. Most of us have more books in our home than some of the great theologians and pastors of the Christian tradition ever had in their lifetime.
That is amazing.
So, you know, like you think about it, like some of the great pastors and theologians, like the Charles Spurgeons and they didn't have thousands of books. They had a number of books that they went super deep into.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing wrong with rereading books and really letting those, like immersing yourself into an author and really and learning that way. So.
Well, the last thing I'll say, and then I'll let you wrap up, is simply that I think you can't be afraid. Number one, you just need to have a wish list that you put on Amazon and make sure your family knows about. I mean, guys are usually notoriously difficult to buy for anyway when it comes to gifts.
Yeah, the wish list, definitely.
Yeah. So always have a wish list going. The second thing is ask, like, go to your church if you're a pastor and, you know, before the next budget year hits, ask for a book budget if you don't have one, because it's an investment in you. It's not like you asking for a raise or asking for, you know, something big. It, you know, you can really stretch a couple $100.
Yes.
And buy more books than you can probably read.
The other suggestion I would throw out there is your library has digital ebooks available now. Not a huge theological library. Like, you're not going to get like your great theological classics primarily at the local library, but you know, if you want to read about, you know, history or biography and things like that, you'd be amazed at how many you can download. You may have to be on a wait list for a little bit for a book, but just go in, put yourself on a wait list if there's a book that you're interested in. I've read tons of books over the last 2 years on my Kindle that way. And it's a cheap way of reading, not as much theology, but yeah, biography, history, other things. So
I can remember making friends with the local librarian, and then she would order stuff for me. Like, if there was a book I really wanted,
yeah,
she would get it for the library because I was asking for it. So be nice to your librarian. See what happens.
Be nice to your librarian. That's good. Well, Todd, this has been fun to talk about how to get books. You can get used books cheap. I'll throw that out there too.
If you're okay with used books, anywhere near you,
man.
It's amazing.
So it can be done. So planters, pastors out there that are listening, you want to read more. You're, you know, financially, it's a little bit of a burden. Books are more expensive these days. There are ways to be able to read a lot, even when it's sometimes tough to afford them. So we hope this has been encouraging to you. Please check out newchurches.com. All of the resources there are free for you. There's the new Sending Church Masterclass that we've just put out there about developing a sending mindset in your local congregation. Lots of material there that will bless you. And we hope you'll join us again for the New Churches Podcast.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.